You'll always make sure you're having a banner day too when you do your shopping on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who, in every single picture ever without his shirt on, always looks a little bloaty. I'm Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Amazing Race recap here for episode number 4 of Amazing Race 28. Here we are, live March 4th, 2016, right after the episode. And here we are to talk about my Amazing Race partner, our chief Amazing Race correspondent, the great Jessica Lease. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I'm ready to get into this super bloaty episode.
Why, you felt like it was a bloaty episode? It was a 60-minute standard amount of time?
In places, it felt a little bit more robust.
I'll tell you, I thought that this was going to be a non-elimination leg. I really thought that we were headed down the stretch, and it's like, well, it's super obvious. Once the models don't get on the train, it does seem like that this is going to be a fait accompli, right? That we are going to have them gone. And I felt like that this is going to be what's the word I'm looking for, Jess?
I'm not sure what you're trying to say, so I don't know.
Yeah, it just seems like there's no way that this isn't a non-elimination leg. And then it was. Boom.
Yeah, I thought it was too soon for another one.
You thought it was too soon for another non-elimination leg? So you felt like that you thought there was no danger of the non-elimination leg, and you just felt like Instagram was done.
Yeah, I felt like Instagram was done from the second they didn't sprint for that train.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think the tail end of this was a little bit badly designed, but we can get more into that later.
No, I think so too. And we'll talk about that in terms of the big pile up at the mat and what would have happened had all 9 teams been on that train. So we'll talk about all that and much more here tonight. Live, of course, we are going to be taking your tweets, hashtag RHAP, and then also our comments or your comments on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Had a nice chat with Darius and Cameron earlier this week. I was sure to thank Darius for the video he made teaching me how to dab.
Well, that was very nice of him.
Yes. Well, it wasn't specifically for me, but it was almost like it was specifically for me.
Okay. I have not seen this video yet. I might be a little bit too uncool for it.
Oh, no. No, I think it's perfect for you too.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Darius and Cameron, yeah, they're very, very nice guys, and got to talk to them earlier this week. And of course, we are scheduled for more exit press, more exit interviews coming up early this week, as we will talk with the Instagram models early next week. Okay, Jess. So let's, I guess the top story, Instagram models are out. I don't remember who had them in our fantasy draft, but they are gone.
I think you do remember.
No. And so they are gone. But Jess, this was, I felt like we really were all over the place with this leg. We went to Switzerland. We ended up in the French Alps. Did you like all the places we went?
Well, Geneva is a place I've actually been, so I was excited to see it and to kind of relive.
Were you there for a convention?
I was not there for a convention.
Mm-hmm.
I was there 16 years ago when I was in college, and it was a great time and very much liked it. Switzerland is super expensive, so not great if you're backpacking on a budget as I was, but I stayed a few days, liked it very much. Happy to see it again.
Okay. Jess, here's what I want to talk about tonight, and I want to know if this is a theme and what your take is on this, that I do believe, potentially, this might be the most collaborative race that has ever been run on the Amazing Race, and I want to get your take on that, to the point where I'm wondering if there is sort of an unspoken agreement for all the teams, especially the teams that are at the top of the pack of, let's all just help each other, and then whoever is in last place, screw them, we won't help them.
You know, it reminds me a lot of, like, have you ever watched a cycling race on TV?
I have to say that I have not, Jess. I have them all DVR'd, but I haven't gotten to them yet. I'm letting them all pile up on the DVR, and I'm just going to go through all of them in one day.
So one weekend, you're just going to sit down and watch, like, 43 years of Tour de France.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I've seen, like, in cycling races is, and, you know, your friend Tyson can probably correct me on this, but a lot of the front runners will travel together in a pack and kind of draft off of each other for the bulk of the race and then kind of pull ahead at the very end. And it seemed to me that that was what some of these teams were doing, because there aren't any – in previous seasons when we've seen people collaborate, we've seen there be, like, two very distinct factions. There's been, like, a – you know, there's been one group of teams that all work together. Like, you have your YouTube and your Derby Moms versus, like, Bates and Anthony and whoever they were working with, Country Girls, I think. Yeah, that sounds right. I kind of forgot they existed, but you had these kind of two factions and they kind of hated each other. And in this season, it doesn't seem like there's any one pair of racers that has decided we're going to work together to the bitter end and screw everybody else. It's just kind of whoever you're there with, you're going to collaborate with them, and you can draft off of each other, and the people behind you, that's their problem.
So how do you feel about that overall? Do you feel like that it is making for less than exciting racing, or do you like this wrinkle for teams to be doing this? Is it a smart strategic move?
I think the smartest strategic thing you can do on this show is not be last.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not ever be last. Make sure someone's behind you all the time. And in that regard, this is very smart. Like, be willing, be flexible, be willing to work with whoever, and be willing to say goodbye to whoever you have to say goodbye to. I think what we have here is a lot of people that really have this idea down pat, or at least are hanging with people that have this idea down pat, and it makes things a little more chaotic, which I kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it must make the editor's job really hard.
Yeah. Is this the Amazing Race version of the Sandra doctrine of anybody but me? I'll collaborate with anybody who's there as long as I can get through quicker. And then whoever is in last place, I don't want to touch that person. Let them be last and I will advance another week on the race.
Yeah, I think it's very much like that. And we have seen this happen before a lot, just not so many people doing it at once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have definitely seen where two teams show up to a roadblock and they see it's something where they have to count. They're the only ones there and they just look at each other like, well, let's get through this as fast as we can. You want to work together. So, yeah, this is like that all the time with everybody.
I almost felt like that this episode was like the complete embodiment of that we basically had an 8-way tie for first place and one team that was a distant 9th place.
Well, that is almost literally exactly what happened.
Yeah. But it's almost like it's a product of the collaboration between the other teams. It just also so happened that everybody happened to be on a train, and then there was a pit stop apparently a couple hundred feet away from where all 8 teams got out of the same train.
Yeah, and this gets into what we were talking about before, that this was kind of bad leg design, because it really did come down to that train. And what I would have liked to see is, like, maybe one additional task very close to the mat, but after the train.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of gives you, if you're good enough, that gives you a way to catch up.
Yeah.
But honestly, the Instagram models, if they bid a little better at the flag task, they wouldn't have needed help, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's just stick with this location for Phil. I mean, it did seem like he was super close to where the train was, and then it was just a foot race for anybody who got off. I guess you'd like to see, ideally, Phil be someplace where there would be more of a chance to spread things out, because if all 9 of these teams were on that train, that would have been a pretty messy fin. I'm not sure if that would even have been good TV. I think it just would have been just such a, you know, a pile of humanity approaching that mat. It would have had to go like a photo finish.
Yeah, it really wouldn't. We saw that happen, I think, Well, this is pretty much almost exactly what happened in that China leg in season 24.
Right. It would have looked like Walmart on Black Friday when they started, like, they let everybody in while getting out of that train.
Yeah, you could not pay me enough to do that. Yeah, like put Phil at the top of a hill and make people climb for him.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's talk about the models and their plight tonight. And really, it started off, and I was actually also surprised that they were the team that went home, because in the promos that I had seen for this week's episode, was they were advertising this episode as it was going to be a model meltdown this week on The Amazing Race. And to me, in my highly trained CBS reality eye, if they tell me that something is going to happen on this show, I am been trained to believe that that thing will not be exactly what happens on the episode. So basically, they will not spoil the elimination in the tease for the episode. But that is precisely what we had tonight. In telling me, come watch the show, you'll see a model meltdown, and we end up with just that, and the model's eliminated.
Oh, well, this is sort of like CBS's Vizzini with the two poison goblets, right?
I guess so.
Like, they know that you think they're not going to spoil it, right? At this point, you know, you're pretty smart.
Yeah. Had you seen those commercials this week?
Yeah, I saw the commercials.
Yeah,
I don't pay close attention, but I saw them.
So what was your take on that? Did you feel like that they were almost telling you that the models will definitely not be eliminated tonight?
I thought they were overselling meltdown a little bit. Like, that's kind of a word that I would reserve for more heated occasions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, was it a meltdown, or was it sort of like very quickly being defeated?
It felt really like they were very quickly being defeated, and the models are not hot-headed people either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they tend to be a little bit lower key, I think is the way I want to describe this. And one of them in particular, I believe it's Jessica, that has this sort of very even-keeled tone in her voice, regardless of how upset she is.
Yeah.
And, like, the edges of her voice will get a little bit strained if she's upset, but most of the time it's still exactly the same pitch and exactly the same speed. And I don't think that someone like that, I don't think I'd call any reaction from them a meltdown.
That's fair. That's fair to say. Well, it was, I believe it was Jessica who was, what, Jessica was doing the flag task, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so Jessica was the one who was rather upset, I would say, to not have any of the other teams work with her. Here is a little bit of Jessica on that task at the United Nations.
Well, I need to relive this.
It's not that I think no one will work with me. It's that I know no one will work with me. It just sucks that, like, I feel like I help everyone. Just, I guess, no one wants to share information with the person who comes in last.
Yeah, so a couple of important things there. Jessica helps everyone. It's not so much that she thinks nobody wants to work with her. It's more that she knows. It was just that she suspected that nobody wanted to work with her. That probably wouldn't have been as bad, but she actually knew that nobody wanted to work with her. And then, the last part, nobody wanted to work with the person that was coming in last. It seems like a very unfair thing, Jess.
You know, if she was in a different position, if she hadn't come in there and she had not been last and somebody else would have been last, she would have done the exact same thing. So I think I help everyone is kind of a misnomer, because I'm pretty sure she wouldn't help the team in last if it wasn't her.
It's not that I think no one will work with me. It's that I know no one will work with me. It just sucks that, like, I feel like I help everyone.
Helps everyone. Not anymore.
She feels like she helps everyone. I think she may.
Not anymore. You guys ruined it. You had a good thing going. Jessica was helping everyone. Sorry. Sorry, starving children. Now.
Well, she can go help people at the Amazing Race equivalent of Ponderosa. They used to call that Elimination Station.
That's it. That's it. So, Jess, how unfair is this? How unfair is it that nobody would help out Jessica?
I think it's exceedingly fair, in fact. And we've discussed, like, how this was working before.
Oh, I beg to disagree. This is very unfair.
Because they're on your team.
No. Because it's messed up. Because, that, you know, Brittany and Jessica, they show up at the task And, you know, if somebody would just tell them the answers, then they wouldn't have to come in last place. Why do they have to actually do the task?
You know, you can't always get what you want, Rob. I think a famous philosopher said that.
So very unfair. They had a rough go of it also on the detour as well, where we had the teams going through either workbench or bench work, which I thought was especially inspired wordplay on The Amazing Race tonight. And so they had to count the number of newspaper partitions. And again, I think this was a very interesting the way that the teams were sharing information here. And again, nobody was sharing with the Instagram models.
Yeah, well, again, they were kind of the last people to show up. And also I feel like if your butt is the wrong size, you're going to have a harder time arriving at the correct answer.
Yeah, they ended up with substantially higher numbers than some of the other teams.
Yes, because they had more butt spaces on their bench because they are narrow people.
Jess, which task did you think was the more challenging of these two tasks?
I honestly thought the benches were, just because that's such a subjective number and there's not a good shortcut. People were pointing out that there may have been a shortcut if you were able to measure sections of the bench, but I don't think those sections were 100% even, and there weren't. This was not like a Central Park bench where there's a little bar to keep people from sleeping on it every so often.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was one continuous slab of bench. And you really did have to count it the way that it was outlined in the instructions. There were no shortcuts. You had to do the whole thing every time.
In a vacuum, we always talk about if you could do a challenge, which is some sort of like choreographed dance or something that you have to learn versus something that you could just power through. You say power through. I think this was a little bit of a different exercise. This was a counting challenge versus putting something together. Where would you go in a vacuum?
I think the thing that's hilarious, and someone asked me about this on Twitter during the episode, is this the hardest counting challenge that they've ever had? And the answer is no. And in fact, the hardest counting challenge I've ever seen on this show was part of a detour where the other option was putting something together.
Mm-hmm.
And this was season 6, episode 3. They were in Sweden. They went to the world's largest IKEA. And you had to either put together a desk, or you had to count this giant bin full of various objects. And the bin full of objects, those people were totally hosed from the start.
Yeah.
And honestly, that I would have thought of that because, you know, I am that nerd who's seen every episode. And I would have flashed back to, I could have instructions in front of me telling me exactly what I have to do. And if I do these steps exactly right, I pass the task no matter what. Versus, this is a kind of an inexact science, and I have to recount everything before I submit every guess.
Yeah. So with the bench counting challenge, just to talk that part of it through first, I believe it was the Frisbee guys who were able to get that challenge first. They came up with 190, which was at the bottom of the acceptable answers, and then they started passing the answer along. Jess, do you feel like, I mean, is that all good in your mind? Like, I felt like the flag thing was probably, you know, that makes sense for the teams to be collaborating on that. But for somebody to just say, okay, the answer is this, almost like, you know, cheating on a test. Here's what it is. Just tell the guy this answer. Do you have an issue with that?
I have an issue with that, but not because of ethics. I have an issue with that because it's bad racing.
Okay.
Like, I honestly, yeah, you're in front, but you're just letting someone get closer to you. And I think in a case of where everybody has to arrive at the same answer, it's fine to work together. And if you've been collaborating and working together on the task and you get the answer and it's right and you know it's right, share it with the people that have been working with you that help you arrive at that answer. But don't just yell it at random other racers who are there.
Like, explain the difference to me between a team just giving the answer to another team and then where we talked about last week where Darius and Cameron, where it was that Cameron couldn't just tell Darius where the marker. I know that Darius and Cameron are on the same team, but isn't that the same thing? Doesn't that hurt the show if somebody just, like, if there's a challenge that you have to figure out a mathematical answer to and somebody is just telling the other teams the answer?
Well, it's not exactly the same situation because everybody involved is doing the task. It's different when someone who is not doing the task is helping.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no rule against helping each other. This is just really bad helping for your own game. And I don't think it ruins the race, except maybe it ruins it for the person who just gave someone 5 minutes that they wouldn't have had, and then it makes the race a lot more competitive. I think it's just really short-sighted. If you have the right answer, don't just share it with other people. The only exception to this is if there's three of you there, you have the right answer. The other two teams are struggling. The other two teams that are there are, for example, Kurt and Brody and Blair and Scott. And they're both struggling equally much. And you know you guys are the last three teams. In that case, I think it's okay, get your right answer, and then tell Blair and Scott what the right answer is, and then peace out of there. Mm-hmm. Because you can beat Blair and Scott. You probably can't beat Kurt and Brody in a foot race. And Blair and Scott, if they get out of there right away, they might beat Kurt and Brody. Kurt and Brody are gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the one case in which it makes sense to just...
Well, why would you tell anybody in that scenario?
Because you have the chance to eliminate a threat.
Okay.
It's almost like a U-turn. It's like a U-turn without U-turning.
Got it. Okay, so it was, very difficult. Especially there was a couple of guys there playing chess. Jess, did you feel like were those two real people playing chess there on that bench?
Those guys had to be placed there because, all right, I live in a city where they film things a lot. And whenever somebody has like camera crews set up somewhere and you walk into the shot, I don't know about you. My first impulse is I got to not be in that shot because I'm going to mess it up. And these guys had been there all morning. There were like 10 people there at this point, legitimately climbing over them.
Right.
I would take my chess game elsewhere personally.
Yeah, wouldn't those guys move after the first team tried to sit on their chessboard?
Right. It's cold out. Like, take it indoors. Go to Move and Pick. Get some lunch. Play some chess over lunch. Like, you don't need to be sitting on that bench. Like, find a freaking picnic table.
Right.
Then you don't have to put your board on the bench.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are clearly plants.
It also seemed like at one point they actually left the chessboard and the chessboard was just there set up without those guys.
Yeah, and then everybody knocked it over and they pretended to be, like, righteously angry about it.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. All right, so Rooster Teeth, I'm sorry, that it was Kurt and Brody that they shared the 190 answer, I believe, with Rooster Teeth and with Dana and Matt, correct?
Let me look at what I've got here. That sounds right. Yeah, Brody and Kurt left in first place.
Yeah. And so they were all there. And I believe that Sherry and Cole were the fourth team to. And I believe that they actually got it on their own. They didn't need any help.
Yeah, they did seem to get it on their own. Yeah.
They got theirs on their own. And then there were a couple teams that were struggling there, including the models, who were the last team to get out of there. Meanwhile, over the other part of that task, the workbench part of the task was assembling the Swiss Army knife. Jess, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to make a guess that you own a Swiss Army knife.
Of course, I own several.
Yeah, several. Why do you need multiple Swiss Army knives?
Well, you have the Swiss card and you have the one that like has like a billion different functions. And then you have the tiny pocket size one.
Don't forget the pocket knife, the small knife.
Yeah, don't forget, like, I feel like the most important piece of the Swiss Army knife is the small knife, but that's just me.
Yeah. So the teams went through this. And again, it was Tyler and Corey that they were the first ones to get through there. This was one of my favorite moments of Tyler and Corey putting together the Swiss Army knife. You got to be careful putting those things together. Tyler was not.
Ooh, yowzer.
Yowzer.
Yeah, someone grew up on Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, watch out. Watch out for that. And so again, Tyler and Corey really seem to thrive at assembling these puzzles.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be on the Brains Tribe for sure. Puzzles are their forte.
Yeah.
I think puzzles lie down for them like lovers.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Watch it. Like Debbie. And I guess speaking of lying down for lovers, do you want to talk about this bloaty situation?
Oh, bloaty. I think I guess it's just that The Amazing Race has been trying to get two people from the show to hook up for like 8 seasons at this point.
Yes.
That everyone is just so excited for it now that it's finally happening.
Everybody was super excited. I mean, Jess, can you recall a time on The Amazing Race when all of the teams seemed to be so on board with a potential showmance?
It's been ages since there's even been a showmance. Like, sometimes there's a casual flirt and they're like, I would date him if we were not on a race together.
Yeah.
Or, this is my race husband and my team of pretty girls is going to collaborate with this team of doofy boys. Like, that happens, but you never have, like, two people like, oh my god, I have such a crush on him. I'm attracted to him. We're going to go lie down in the sleeping bag together on the night 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, and the whole bloaty thing really tickled Tyler and Corey.
Yeah, Tyler and Corey are kind of bored. I think they need to find boyfriends of their own.
is the race too easy for them? Is that why they are so invested in bloaty?
That could be it. Like, I think maybe they need to pick up a Sudoku book or something in the next airport.
Now they're playing matchmaker for bloaty. Now, I want to know that I think that probably the most awkward part about bloaty, I think, happens to be the fact that Scott, that Blair's dad, is a chaperone on all of these dates. Where was Scott when bloaty was happening in the sleeping bag?
I think Scott was trying to avert his eyes.
I mean,
but I have to imagine, like, the worst thing in the world would be running The Amazing Race with your parent and then meeting someone you want to hook up with, because it's like, there's a rule that says your partner can't be more than a few feet from you at all times. And it's like, how am I supposed to get my Mac on when my dad's watching me?
Could we have gotten a confessional from Scott on this?
I think they might have reached out to Scott for comment and he might have declined.
Yeah. I had tweeted about what was Scott doing during the whole bloaty situation. And Corey actually wrote back to me that Scott was having a bromance with Kurt.
Oh, wow. Well, Kurt's the ultimate wingman.
Yes, he really is. He's a real...
Way to go, Kurt.
That is called what we call jumping on the grenade in that situation.
I was about to say.
So what a guy Kurt is.
All right, I'm impressed. Kurt gets my MVP award.
Now, I don't know. We have to find out at some point if it was like an intentional thing, like, hey, Scott, let me show you this thing over here. If he intentionally had to go and divert Scott to something else. Like, hey, Scott, you check out this suit of armor over here? Like, oh, look at this one. Hey, Scott, why don't you try on this helmet, on this suit of armor?
I don't know what actually happened, but in my head, this is what actually happened now.
Yeah, I think that's a lot better.
I love it.
All right, so ultimately, the teams got out from putting together the Swiss Army knife, and we got into the UN task. Who's having a banner day? Jess, are you having a banner day today?
Sure.
All right. So it was in this task, it was Corey who was the first one to figure out that everything that they were looking at was a map of exactly where they were. And eventually more and more teams started to figure that out. And again, I thought that there were some interesting pairings going on. So Corey worked with Matt here out of all those people.
It was kind of based on like who's right there next to me at this point, at this moment.
Yeah. And then it was Rooster Teeth working with was it Brody or Kurt that was running this task? Brody and Kurt.
It was Kurt.
Okay. And then also then Cole was in this task and he was working with them. So then you had that threesome there.
Yep. And that's a bromance I could get behind too.
Yes. Which one?
The trio of the Cole, Kurt and Bernie.
Yeah. Why? What is it that appeals about that those are all people on your fantasy team?
Well, they're, yeah, basically, it's like Team Jess is coming together to defeat Team Rob. It's pretty great.
Okay. Jess, nobody wants to hear about the fantasy team. People.
I think everyone, you know, you're still winning.
People are not interested in hearing other people talk about their fantasy reality show teams.
I'm pretty sure everybody is dying to hear, Rob, that I'm only 20 points behind you.
Okay, so those were the top five teams that were working together. So then ultimately, then we had a bit of, was it Blair and Team Clever working together?
Yeah, it looked like it. It looked like all of the three of the girls showed up in the back end. And I think I think Rachel was in on that too.
Yeah. From Zach and Rachel. Yes. And so they were all working together. And then the pariah of the Amazing Race showed up. It was Jessica, and nobody wanted to work with her at the United Nations. The United Nations is supposed to be a place where people come together, not putting sanctions on Instagram models.
Yeah, you know, I think there is probably something in the Geneva Convention about Instagram models.
Yes, yes. That was cruel and unusual punishment for the Instagram models.
It definitely was. But, you know, if they'd been just like 15 seconds better at navigation, they wouldn't have been last and someone would have worked with them.
It's not that I think no one will work with me. It's that I know no one will work with me.
Yeah, Jess.
World's tiniest violin.
You could lay so many across a bench. There's probably millions of them.
Infinite tiny violins.
Yeah. So everybody ultimately got out of there. And they headed off to the train. Now, Jess, I did not really understand how this whole train system was working, because there was an hour delay for some teams. Like, it was like the first three teams left, and then they had a train that had like an hour long connection that the second team caught up to. But then the Instagram models were on a third train, which almost caught up to the second train.
Well, you know, Rob, it's like this. If a train leaves Geneva traveling at 55 miles an hour, and yes, another train also leaves Geneva an hour later. Basically, what happened there's no direct train, apparently, from Geneva to Chamonix at that time of day. And so they had several connections to make. And at the point of one of those connections, they caught up with the other one. And then there's one final connection. And the models almost made it, but didn't, because I don't think they were running hard enough. Or maybe it wasn't even 1 minute. Maybe they were just saying 1 minute as kind of a ballpark figure, and maybe there was no way they were ever going to make it.
One of my favorite moments in the episode, that, and I want to make sure I'm getting the people right in this. I believe is it Blair or was it Rachel who saw the Instagram models coming and told everybody, hide. Hi, everybody hide. Oh, everybody.
That was Blair. That was definitely Blair because of Blair's
everybody get
voice.
Down. Everybody.
I was more like, hide, hide.
It's very funny. Have you ever seen that before, Jess, on The Amazing Race?
I've seen that. That used to happen a lot more in the earlier seasons, where they'd see someone coming by and they're like, you know, it would either be because they don't want to have to talk to them or because they don't want them to know that this is where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was kind of a nice throwback to very early Amazing Race.
I guess it worked. Now, tell me, in your heart of hearts, Jess, in your Amazing Race expertise, do you feel like this was a lack of hustle which cost the Instagram models their spot on The Amazing Race?
I think it was, because I think they wasted enough time complaining that no one was helping them that they probably could have figured out the task on their own.
Yeah.
And I think there was no hustle at the task, and I would have sprinted it for it even if there really wasn't 1 minute between the trains.
Ooh, yowzer.
Yeah.
Yowzer. Indeed.
Okay. So they were last. Brittany and Jessica are eliminated. And then we go from there. So I don't even know what the placement is. I mean, that was such a BS that it was a first place finish for Frisbee Bros. Like, how?
They got there first. It was a photo finish. But our good friend Randy Knuppel helped us by making a really convenient chart, and he's got the placement down pretty accurately, I believe.
I really feel like this week is just a tie for first place across the board. I mean, how do they even decipher who was who in that instance?
I mean, you've got a DVR, Rob. You can slow it down and you can prove that I got all the points.
Yeah. Why? What was the official order? Do you know?
Yeah.
What was
it? I've got what Randy says it was, and I trust him.
We'll go.
He seems track.
Yeah. Seems like he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he says Kurt and Brody in first place, followed by Tyler and Corey in second, Dana and Matt in third, Bernie and Ashley in fourth, Zach and Rachel in fifth, Clever Girls in sixth, Sherry and Cole in seventh, and Scott and Blair bringing up the rear.
Okay. All right, we'll see what happens. Jess, did you remember the moment that Phil was referencing about the all-stars all bunched up at the mat?
Yeah, we've already talked about that. It was the episode where Mark and Mallory went out.
Oh.
And there was when they had to shuttlecock.
Yeah, I don't know. I must have blocked that out of my mind.
I do frequently block out entire swaths of season 24.
I think shuttlecock might have been too much for me to take. I think I just completely thrown me off.
It's too much for a lot of people to take.
Hold on.
Ooh, yowzer.
That one's got to go on the permanent drop board, I think.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so let's get into taking some questions from you guys. Hashtag RHAP or on our YouTube channel at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. All right, why don't we start off with Josh Benson. He said, I loved when the models were eliminated and Phil told them to let the tears fall. Wow, Phil.
Phil's just thinking he's got to get that moment on camera. He's not like jumping up like Cartman on Scott Tenorman being like, I can taste your tears. They're so yummy and sweet. Although that would have been pretty sweet to watch if that happened.
Okay. Irina wants to know, are we seeing the hashtag evolutionist strategy of, I think the Amazing Race? As long as teams are not last work together, they will keep extending their lead. Is this basically, I mean, could we look at the socioeconomic implications of this Amazing Race strategy? I mean, is this, do we need some sort of Bernie Sanders to come in and fix the Amazing Race? So the people that are at the bottom can have a chance to level the playing field?
To have a chance for someone to do it for them? And Rob, you know I'm as much of a socialist as anybody, but come on.
Well, are we talking about Bernie or the Amazing Race?
There's a Bernie on the Amazing Race.
Bro! Rooster teeth! Yeah.
I'm saying.
Bernie bros. Okay. Yep. John Johnson wants to know, which showmance will last the longest, Caleb and Ty or Bloaty? I think Bloaty has more of a shot outside of the Amazing Race.
I think Bloaty, for last I heard, they were still together. So,
oh, spoiler!
That's not a spoiler. It's a serious rumor.
Yeah. Okay.
Yowzer.
Adam 555 says, is it strange to have an equalizer such as public transport at the end of a leg rather than at the beginning? Kind of made everything that happened previously on the leg seem irrelevant. Well, we had one at the beginning, too. We had everybody, yeah. We had all the teams on the same flight, then we had all the teams on the same train to leave. And then the entire show, like if the Instagram models get on the entire show is 100 feet. It's like we watch an hour of TV to watch a, you know, a 100-meter dash.
Yeah, exactly. I think I have no problem at all with bunching everybody at the beginning of a leg. I think that's necessary for production, and I think it's good for the show. Because it keeps somebody from getting like a week ahead of everybody else. But I have a problem with it at the very end. Like, I think there needed to be some other thing in there apart from everybody catching a train.
I mean, they were 1 minute away from the Instagram models making it on the train to having 55 minutes of pointless TV of basically nine teams race from a train to a mat. That's the show.
Do not like it. No, sir. Do not like it.
Yeah. They could do better. You're better than this, Amazing Race. You can come up with a better idea for a course. All right. Scott St. Pierre says, I think he's having a problem with the...
He's speaking on behalf of Alex G.
Alex G. How do you feel about the very noticeable increase in difficulty between the first few legs and this one? Is this a good structure? Well, I'm not sure. What is Alex saying? Is he saying that the first few legs were easy and this one was so difficult?
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think we've had a few tasks that I thought were way too easy, but I don't think it's necessarily like every single level we're leveling up a little bit. It seemed to me like these were hard tasks, but leg one had some hard tasks too.
You don't feel like the tasks difficulties increased like the slopes in the French Alps?
I do not think so. No.
Okay. All right. Let's take another one. This is from Greg McBean. And Gregory wants to know, what do you think of collaborations in real life? Do they have anything to do with the race? For instance, Rooster Teeth collaborated with Tyler and company. Well, I do think that there is something interesting about the teams of social media people being more prone to collaborate because I think often on YouTube, you see people like from the dawn of YouTube, people who are popular on YouTube collaborate with one another and they sort of like say, okay, I'm in this person's video, this person's in my video, and it's a great way to build your audience by collaborating. Do you think that the social media teams are more prone to collaborations because they do them more in real life, Jess?
Well, I don't think that that's necessarily why. I think you can tie collaboration back to just about anything that somebody does for a living. Like, think about whenever you have somebody with a weird profession on The Amazing Race, and every single confessional, they're asked to talk about how it relates back to their job as, you know, football players or grave diggers or bartenders or whatever it is they do. I don't think it necessarily makes you better at collaboration because you collaborate with someone in real life, but I do think you are more likely to collaborate with someone you already know. And that's where we're running into a little bit of over-collaboration, is a lot of these people know each other already. So naturally, they're going to be inclined to work together.
Do you feel like, are there more collaborations on an all-star season of The Amazing Race?
Well, I think the all-star season, The Amazing Race community is not exactly the same as the Survivor community, for example, where there's a million pregame alliances. But we did see it a little bit in that season that we've tried to block out of our memories, Eternal Sunshine style. But we did see, you know, Jen and Caroline inclined to work together with Dave and Cotter because they already knew them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, it happens, I think. And you do see that happen. Like, I think they almost want it to happen on some level, the way that they cast these seasons with four or five teams from the same season coming back.
Jeremiah Yap says, could we see a Justin and Diana-esque run this season with Brody and Kurt and Tyler and Corey? All right, well, I think we have to pick one or the other there. I don't think that both of them can have a Justin and Diana type run, right?
You know, not everybody can be Justin and Diana.
Right. I mean, I think that we have seen seasons where we have, you know, two teams sort of trading back and forth. I mean, is this the second or the third? I think that it's the second first place finish for Brody and Kurt, correct?
Yeah, it is.
And they went back to back, right?
Yeah, they went back to back.
Okay. But this was barely a first place finish.
Got some bromentum.
Bromentum, yeah. Wow, what a night for Brody. I mean, he gets first place, gets $3,000, gets Brody.
Yeah, everything's coming up Brody.
Yeah, the one odd thing though, that did you catch this clip? This was something that was heard coming from the sleeping bags with Brody.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay. And then you're gonna pound it after that.
Whoa! So I don't even know what they're talking about there.
I'm not sure that came from the sleeping bags.
Not sure. Okay.
I could be wrong.
All right. Derek wants to know, is Haymaker Hattie saying this is a hashtag racing block? Steve Fishbeck's strategy works anywhere. Okay. Are you saying this is like the equivalent of voting blocks, Jess?
It is a little similar to voting blocks. Like, you, in that you are flexible and you're willing to work with anybody to get you where you need to go.
Okay. And you think it's a real thing? Is this an evolution of The Amazing Race?
I don't think it's an evolution. I think people have always been willing to do this. I think it's just that more people are picking up that you can do this.
Okay. What about for the teams that are at the bottom? What can they do?
It's not that I think no one will work with me. It's that I know no one will work with me. It just sucks that, like, I feel like I help everyone. Just, I guess no one wants to share information with the person who comes in last.
Yeah.
It's true.
How can,
like,
we get...
Don't be in last.
How can we get people to share information with the teams in last?
I don't think you can. I think it's, or, you know, maybe just cast a bunch of complete morons. Then they probably would.
Yeah. Well, how come when you play musical chairs, nobody will give the chair to the person who is the last person standing when the music stops?
I'm not sure, Rob.
Messed up. System is broken.
System is flawed.
System is flawed. The game is rigged. Okay, let's take a few more questions here with Scott, who says, Irenka, she wants to know, are these short-term collaborations race blocks or task blocks? What do you want to call it? Or task units?
Ooh, task units. I like it.
You like that?
Yeah. Task okay. Units.
All right. Luke wants to know, should we put up on our wigs the title of this episode? I get that they want to put an emphasis on the social media aspect, but get it trending isn't exactly that catchy.
You can see the thought process that led to that episode title. Mm-hmm. You can see the suits in the boardroom.
Yes. Like, they came in to talk about, okay, guys, how is the Amazing Race social media season looking? We got a lot riding on this. Like, well, let's just say episode 4 is called Get It Trending. Oh, raises for everybody. Nailed Synergy. It. Nailed it. Let's go for lunch. Okay. Doof Inc. wants to know, how do you feel about legs, which prevent the use of taxis? Jocelyn said that taxis were not allowed on this leg. Well, I was very confused for a minute there. Okay. no taxis on this leg, Jess. How do you feel about that?
I like it because you know how much of the show can come down to a bad taxi. Mm-hmm. Like, let's take it out of their hands. Like, let's put more of the power in the racer's hands. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So all no taxis. Everybody has to run on foot. Well, how long are they? It looked like that they really had to scramble to get to the park bench. But I don't remember a lot of people going from to the United Nations. Were they all in sort of one spot?
Yeah, it seemed like it. I'm not sure where that park bench is relative to anything else, but it looked okay. Like it might have been like kind of up on a hill.
Okay, let's do a couple more questions here with Jess. Mr. Air Sonic wants to know, waiting for that food task, snails anyone?
Snails are delicious.
Okay, all right. And let's do one more question here tonight from Jamie H., who says, the editing of this episode felt a little bit off, honestly. Was expecting it to be a keep-on racing leg based on the leg design, how nobody checked in until the last 3 minutes. Jess, did you think that it could have potentially been a keep racing?
Yeah, it was. It did cross my mind. But again, I thought it was just way too soon.
Too soon. Okay. Well, we're 4 episodes into this amazing race. We're about a third of the way through the season now.
Yeah, it's going by fast, I guess.
Going by fast. All right. Let's see. Mr. Sticky also wants to know, don't you hate it when more than two teams work together? To me, it makes the show anticlimactic. Jess, do you hate it when more than two teams work together, or you just are interested to see where it goes?
I'm interested to see where it goes and how long it goes on for.
Yeah. It annoyed me a little bit on the counting challenge, I have to say. I didn't mind it at the United Nations. I felt like that's fair game, but it's like, I kind of feel like, what's the point of having a task where it's counting and then you could just whisper to other people what the answer is?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't love it when the helping is just like giving someone the answer.
Yeah, it's like, hey, everybody, answer's 190, answer, pass it on. So I felt like that was anticlimactic. But in terms of the, you know, collaborating in the flag task, I mean, that seems like no issue with that. All right. So, Jess, what's our hashtag going to be?
We got lots of contenders this week.
Yes. Where do you want to go?
I've got hashtag pile of humanity.
Pile of humanity. Wow.
I have hashtag bromentum.
Bromentum, sure.
I have hashtag task units.
Yes.
I have hashtag infinite tiny violins. What do you like?
And no love for...
Ooh, yowzer.
I feel like Tyler and Corey are going to use that for themselves.
Okay, all right. So you're leaving. That's nice.
I'm letting them make that their own hashtag.
Okay. What was the last one?
Infinite tiny violins.
Oh, I like task units.
Task units. Let's go with task
units. We have synergy too.
All right.
So here's where we're going from here. So earlier tonight, recap the first two episodes of Big Brother Canada. Did a bunch of podcasts talking about this week's episode of Survivor. You can get them all on robhasawebsite.com. Next up for me is that I'll be talking with the great Zach Brooks in a little bit, and we'll be recapping the first episode of the new season of House of Cards. You can get that on our scripted TV podcast at postshowrecaps.com. Of course, exit interview scheduled with the lovely Instagram models, and I will help them with any questions that they have for me.
You're a stand-up guy.
That is my offer.
All right. Well, I'm glad someone's being helpful because it sure seemed like nobody wanted to help them.
Yes. And they don't have to even think that they don't have to even question it. They can know it.
It's not that I think no one will work with me. It's that I know no one will work with me.
Yeah.
So you're going to work with them.
I will work with them and help them. Any question. And that offer stands for anybody that gets me on the phone on one of these exit interviews. I will help you.
Yeah.
Whatever questions.
Help me help you.
Yeah. You want to count something, whatever it is. Happy to help. All right. Of course, Jess and I will be back together next Friday night at 9:15 PM Eastern time after episode number 5 of The Amazing Race. You can also catch more Jessica Lease on post show recaps, talking about the Walking Dead comic book club, talking about spoilers from each episode of The Walking Dead from the comic books.
That's because I have poor impulse control, and when I got caught up to season 6, I needed to know what happened next.
Low impulse control, that's the thing. So check Jessica out there as well, and follow Jessica on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Cesternino. We're looking forward to reading your comments on robhasawebsite.com. Have a good weekend, everybody. Talk to you again soon.